Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for interracial couples. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
Tyler, what did we watch?
We watched Joker, or as the Spanish might say,
Joker.
Yes.
Joker's a movie about a man on a mission. What is that mission, Tyler?
I'm not sure.
Yes. To become the world's greatest sign spinner.
Yes.
Oh, the ups and downs of the rock and roll lifestyle of a sign spinner.
He's not only a sign spinner, he also goes to a children's hospital.
That's true.
He's a clown for hire.
Clown for hire. Otherwise known as?
Party clown.
Party clown. Party clown, a lot of people don't know this, my nickname in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tyler, what do you want to do?
I don't know, because I feel like we've started a new format with our short podcasts, and This isn't really a short podcast. It's normally a long podcast.
Sure isn't.
This is a long boy.
I was thinking,
generally don't do the rants on the long boys, except for the last time when I think we did.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I need the give and I need the take. I need your energy. I need it with me. Here's what we need.
Yeah.
We need to summarize this movie. I need to hear just your first thoughts, okay? I need you to get us into spoiler town.
What about before spoilers? This is a divisive movie. So people might be coming in here.
Uh-huh.
They want to know what's the opinion of the opinion havers on this divisive movie. Because We are fans, but we are also highly respected lovers. Movie critics.
Yes. Movie critics.
So here's what I want from you, Cody.
Okay.
I want thumbs up, thumbs down.
My thumb is going skyward for this. It's pointed in an upward direction. I'm saying it, okay? It's erect, and it's 90 degrees upward.
Okay.
Where's your thumb sitting?
It's thumbs up.
It's upward.
It's a thumbs up.
Okay, well, okay.
I feel like I took away 90% of your talking points there.
That's fine. Okay, we can work with that.
We can work with us both liking the movie.
Can you? Okay.
So, Cody?
Yeah.
Now that we've told the people that we are firmly on the side of the vast majority of people, not critics, but we are on the side of the people.
Mm-hmm.
How are we getting to spoiler town to spoil the movie? How? Tell me. Quickly now. Faster.
Taking a bus?
Bus.
And we're walking the rest of the way.
Oh. Up the spoiler stairs.
It only gets you so far, you know?
Yeah.
Public transit in Metropolis? It's there.
It's Gotham.
Oh, dang it.
We have to
restart the podcast.
I watched
the wrong movie.
You watched the Lex Luthor movie.
The Lex Luthor origin story.
We're embargoed on that. We're not supposed to talk about
it. Oh. We're walking there. We're going up to the gate of wherever. Spoilers Manor. Spoiler Manor.
There's so many steps to this, Cody. I trusted you. You failed me.
So, here's the big
spoiler.
Here's
what we're going to do. We're going to hop in the Batwing and we're going to fly to Spoilerville.
Okay.
Where it all started with Lex Luthor.
Here's the big spoiler. And if you've read anything about the movie, you're going to know this.
Spoilers.
He's the Joker.
Yeah.
He turns out to be the Joker. Yeah.
Here's the thing, Cody.
I thought it was a movie about a sad clown. I was wrong.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Oh, okay.
He is a clown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sad boy.
Yeah.
If I could read you the IMDb little synopsis.
Yes. Real
quick, could I? Can I? In Gotham City, they watched the correct movie. Mentally troubled comedian Arthur Fleck embarks on a downward spiral of social revolution and bloody crime. This path brings him face to face with his infamous alter ego, the Joker.
So, hold on.
Also, wait, can I submit the Joker as an alternative name to Bane?
He sure can. Because he's yoked. Yeah. Also, he eats a lot of egg yolks. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
When we had brunch last week.
Oh, how's he doing?
He was good. He was like, I have an egg yellow omelet. Just the yellows. A yolk omelet. You ever had one?
Yes.
Whip the yolks. Put some cheese, some peppers. It's pretty good.
This is why I've had one of those before, Cody. You ready for it?
Yeah.
You know how most people, if somebody comes to you and they say, I'm allergic to eggs, what does that mean to you?
It means eggshell, egg whites, and yolks. No go. Can't have it.
Here's the thing. Cody, I'm allergic to eggs.
What?
Egg whites.
Okay. You were inspecting a sauce packet earlier, and I was trying to figure out why.
Well, I'm not that allergic to them.
Okay.
But I was just looking at the ingredients of it because here's the thing. Somebody said once they made an outrageous claim about buffalo sauce. They're like, buffalo sauce? It's cayenne and pepper or something. And I was like, I think there's more to it than that. Mm. And that's what I was inspecting for because we had buffalo sauce from McDonald's. And I was looking at the ingredients.
I've made a buffalo sauce before. And I used Frank's Red Hot Sauce, which is just like a cayenne pepper sauce, cayenne pepper vinegar, and like butter, and that was pretty much it.
That's what they said.
There's something else. I was like,
they're like, it's Frank's and butter. That's what they said. And I was like,
you can't,
yeah, but that's like
one way to do it, for sure.
That's like saying, what's bread? Wheat and water. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's more to it, but yes. At base level.
So you're,
yes.
You're allergic to egg whites?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. It was on a piece of paper the doctor gave me. He's like, you probably shouldn't eat these. If you eat them and they haven't killed you before, you're probably fine. But, you know.
I got the same thing with soy.
I think it's the same thing. I'm allergic to a lot of stuff. It just makes me feel like I've got a cold. Mm. Made me feel real good because when I was a little kid, most of my life, you know this, you've lived with me, you've been around me recently. I seem to always have like a little stuffy nose, a little cough, a little bit of a cold symptoms.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, you're being dramatic, Tyler. And then the doctor's like, you're allergic to, like, everything. Mm. It makes you feel like you got a cold all the time. I'm like, suck it, middle school nurse.
Allergic to everything?
Pretty much, yeah.
Even, like...
all the things that you can be allergic to.
Even, like, really crappy segues? Speaking of crappy segues, they called him a comedian? In the IMDb, they call him... a comedian. They're like, that's his job as a comedian?
Mentally troubled comedian, yes.
He's not,
he does it.
He does stand up once. He tells two jokes.
Yeah, it would have been a mentally troubled clown.
He's a clown.
Yeah.
He is established. He's in the clown union. Clown. Or whatever.
He works for a clown agency.
Clown agency. I didn't know they had those.
Yeah, where do you think you hire a clown from?
I just thought there were a lot of freelancers.
No, they... agencies...
a lot of contractors.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese may have influenced the Joker. That's just a sentence I wanted you to know.
Here's the thing. Basically, this movie is just Taxi Driver, but it's the Joker instead of Robert De Niro. But Robert De Niro is still in the movie, so.
Here's the thing, Cody.
What?
I don't know if I made this prediction on a podcast. It may have been on the Fabled Lost podcast.
Ah, yes, where we watched all seasons of Lost.
Yes.
We did one episode on it.
Yeah. Side note, they weren't dead the whole time. The showrunner said that. They said it very clearly, and everyone's like, they were dead the entire time. I know it because I felt it out.
But people don't realize, when you enter spoiler town, we can spoil anything.
Anything.
We can spoil the movie we're doing. We can spoil a TV show that ended... 10 years ago.
Yeah, also I feel like Lost is like... what's something people always spoil?
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense. It's like, you know. You know the spoiler. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know anything about Lost except I think that they're on an island.
They are on an island. And the show, the writers really didn't end it very well. And it confused everybody, and they got scared, and they panicked, and then they killed a bunch of people. What? I don't know how true the last part of that is, but yeah. Every other bit of it, super true.
Wow.
There's a smoke monster that sounds like a chain. Fun fact, I went outside my backyard one day right after watching the show. There's a full-on smoke monster sound, super loud, in my neighborhood.
Wait, like James and the Giant Peach?
No. Like, I'm Lost.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that might be the best Tim Burton movie.
It's awful. It's horrifying. Like all of his movies.
It is terrifying. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I'm putting it out there once again. Best Tim Burton movie.
You said it from the beginning.
I've been saying this on every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been paying attention, it's because you're bad. I've been saying it, and I won't stop saying it. He's not a comedian, he's a clown.
He is very clearly a clown. Also, the Joker's a clown.
Here's the thing.
There's someone in... No, yes. Who owns Watchmen, Marvel or DC?
It's a DC.
There is a DC character called the Comedian. It's a different character.
Yeah.
So there's somebody called the Comedian. He's a hero villain, anti-hero, anti-hero.
Anti-hero.
Antecedent. What does that mean? Antetum. Oh. What?
Antecedent? So, here's the thing. I have a lot of thoughts about this movie.
Yeah?
First off, I thought they had a good use of music. Their song selections I thought were really good.
It was good?
Here's my problem with this movie.
Hmm.
I miss... it's very heavy-handed and pretty serious, it seems like. Joaquin Phoenix, he's a good actor. But here's what I miss. I miss the very funny Joker. And I can't decide if it's because the movie wasn't written very funny or if it's because we didn't have, like, the right audience. Because no one in the theater was laughing except for maybe two moments in the movie.
Oh, you were laughing at very inappropriate times, I would say.
I know. And I feel like it was supposed to be in part played for comedy.
No.
Because he's Joker.
The parts that you laughed at were like...
Here's the thing.
Parts where he wasn't joking.
Here's the thing. No one laughed at anything.
I laughed.
But the audience, I'm talking about the audience as a whole. There was a full theater.
There was it full? There was like 12 other people in the theater.
It was like 70% full.
There was exactly.
There was a 10-year-old child there.
Yeah, there's a kid there.
I heard. He wasn't next to me. He's next to someone else. Heard he was wigging out the whole time. He was...
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. Don't bring your kids to an R-rated movie, even if you're like, oh, a superhero movie. It's not, especially when it's the Joker.
It's a villain movie about a bad, bad man. It's Taxi Driver with the Joker. That's what it is.
This is why I appreciate before Deadpool. You remember how they did the thing where it was like an interview? And then it was in the interview, he's like, what would you say to kids going to the movie? And they put it before the movie screening. And he's like, so to any kids in the audience, why the F are you here? Now I'm going to tell you where babies come from. And he details all that. And he's like, goes through a bunch of stuff, tells them all the things aren't real and all the stuff. And the parents lied to you the whole life.
Ryan Reynolds had that tweet a little while ago. And it's like, oh, what do your kids think of you? And it was like, or something. And he's like, here's what you do. Or like, what do you do if your kids want to see Deadpool? Here's what you do. Do what I do. You put on Spider-Man, you tell your kids that's Deadpool.
Yeah, don't take your kids to see Joker. Or Deadpool.
My other idea, not just that the audience was bad, I also just wonder if the reason nothing people didn't laugh is because you see the context of like Joker's pain and lunacy, and therefore it like when you see the Joker just pop up and you're like, oh, he's a crazy boy and he's doing all the crazy stuff and making jokes, it's like, ah, Joker, you're bad but you're funny. Whereas in this, where it's just like, oh, you see he's just this really tortured person and it's terrible, then you're just like, well, even when he makes a joke, I don't want to laugh. It's just sad.
Yep.
Is that the thing? Is that it? Is that why?
I thought there was a lot of funny moments, personally.
That's what I thought.
I thought they landed pretty well.
There was no laughing.
Yeah.
Normally, she's on the opening weekend. It's like the fans are seeing it. The people are like, yeah, I'm really interested in this.
Well, that's a big thing. Is people are like, this movie isn't allowed to be funny, is what I saw somebody say. And I'm like, I mean, everybody lost their minds when Heath Ledger made the pencil disappear.
Yeah.
Well, actually, here's the thing. You found out who the psychopaths were.
Hello.
Because it's the people who lost their minds. Everybody else is like, what the heck, dude? He just killed a guy. I'm like, yeah, but it's funny because it was like so abrupt that you're shocked and laughing about it.
And he had a couple, Joaquin Phoenix had a couple lines like that.
Well, I think he ramped up to that at the end. I think at the end.
He did a couple of them.
Like that last scene where he's like dancing.
Yeah.
Then he was that Joker. He was the Joker in that scene. He was Arthur Fleck.
Let's just jump to the end. Even at the end where he shoots the guy on TV.
Yeah.
Like, he's not laughing really. He's sitting there. He sits in his chair like very menacingly. And like, I don't know, just like he's not. Even his punchline, his punchline to the knock-knock joke wasn't anything funny. It was just like, you get what you deserve, and he shoots him. And you're like, oh, you're just a psychopath Joker. You're not like, oh, I'm making a joke, and I'm being a psychopath, you know?
Yeah. Well, most Jokers, I would say the Joker is menacing. And here's the thing with the Joker, is that he's the Riddler, but the Riddler is more...
like a...
The Riddler is more concerned with, like... making a hard problem to solve for Batman. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Is that's what he cares about. That's why he does the crime. The Joker is just as smart as the Riddler, but he just wants to showcase how crazy just the world
is. Agent of chaos.
Yeah, he's an agent of chaos. Mm. So, like Judd from Big Mouth.
Exactly.
So, I always have thought, in all the I think every Joker... every actor who's played him plays the idea that the Joker's smart enough to recognize how the value of being menacing versus never taking stuff seriously.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like someone who can't take the moment seriously but knows right now is the moment to just kind of sit here and then maybe like squirm a little bit. So it's like I'm trying to look menacing and I'm like looking menacing in the fact that I'm concerned about how I look right now sitting next to a dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like a Joker move would be to shoot him and then like use the guy's tie to like wipe a little stuff off his face and then fix his bow tie and then walk, like prance over to the thing and say something like to the camera. And he tried to say his line and they cut him off, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing is my favorite part of the Heath Ledger Joker from, like, Dark Knight trilogy is, like, he's such a good schemer, he's such a good planner, and he just, like, has this insane plot, and he's thought of everything, and it's really interesting. And this was just, like, it was leading up to that, but he never became, like, a crime boss. He never became a person with a plan.
Yeah.
You know? And so I guess I wanted to see that, and you don't, because it's his origin story. It's all the stuff that leads up to him being like, I'm off my meds. Forget about society. I'm this outcast. I'm going to embrace
chaos,
you know? Yeah.
Well, I think because that's kind of the thing of like, so Heath Ledger's Joker or even, you know, any of the Jokers. I would say it's 50-50 whether or not he even would have still been there when the cops showed up.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, he was just there and let himself get arrested. Mm-hmm. And then. So at the very end, you see him starting to be like this, like, all right, well, I'm going to kind of act the way I want so I can be in a position, act the way they want so I can be in a position to escape at the very last shot where he's like, they do the little back and forth where he is in the mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks away and they just show him do a little smile and then him walking away with blood on his feet.
Yeah.
And then I did think it was funny where he went down the hallway and then ran away and the orderly's coming after him and then he runs past again and like the little Scooby-Doo back and forth thing. I thought that was funny. He also just stomped a girl out to death, by the way. It's the implication I would say there, and that was still funny.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was literal or metaphorical, the blood on his feet.
No, it was real blood. I mean, he didn't. You know, he got blood on his feet from killing that lady.
What you don't understand is this is an artisan film. This is an indie movie.
Yeah. Produced by somebody for $55 million.
Yeah.
You know those artisan films with Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite.
don't know. I think there was a lot to like about the movie. I think maybe it just wasn't quite my vibe for me. Like, I gave this a thumbs up. I like it. I wouldn't say I loved it. I wouldn't say I'm going to go back and see it again. I think if you're interested in it, it's worth a watch. But I don't know if I would go past that, you know? I don't know if I'd be like, oh, you're really on the fence and, you know, you don't really watch very intense movies ever? Definitely check it out. I might be like, eh. Maybe don't worry about it.
I really liked it.
You really liked it.
I did.
I wonder, too, because I've heard people, I've seen people post and they were like, oh my gosh, it was so dark. It was so dark, so chilling. They nailed it. It was perfect. I was awestruck at the end. And I don't know if it's just because I've seen a lot of, like, pretty dark movies and very serious movies out, you know, outside of comic book whatever.
Yeah.
That I was less impressed. I think there are some people where it's like they've never seen an intense R-rated character study of someone who goes crazy. And for them to see it for the first time with a character they love, they were, like, enamored with it. Whereas me, I'm like, well, you could do the same thing with a lot of Scorsese movies or a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of indie movies I've seen where it's like, oh, it's heavy, it's intense, but it's really good. I don't know.
I mean, it's also, you know, you think like Deadpool has a lot of gore in it. You know, like he shoots guys in the head, it shows the back of their head blowing off.
Yeah.
Stuff. But it's a funny movie. It's not a gory, awful movie. It's like funny.
Yeah.
And the parts where it's like over the top gore is usually to make the joke even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, they use the same effects that they use in John Wick and Deadpool, but it's a comic book movie,
mm-hmm,
without all the jokes and stuff. So he'll shoot a guy and then there's nothing funny after it. There's no punchline.
It's heavy.
Yeah. It's like, he just murdered these three guys and he liked it. And we're going to reiterate that over and over, that normally someone, this would weigh on them. They would feel guilty. He doesn't. He doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't not feel guilty. It was something that he did, and he's like, I don't care.
That was one of my favorite scenes. So he gets bullied by a lot of people in this movie, but there's a scene where he gets a gun earlier in the movie, and then he's on the subway, and there are three, like, Fat Boy, stock market guys.
Yeah, the stock market. They're economists.
Mm-hmm. Finance guys, Wall Street types, frat boys.
Why are you pulling us away from that economist term, Cody? Do you have some link to that, Cody?
I mean, no, I don't.
Okay.
Anyway, they're being mean to this girl. They're objectifying her, and Joker kind of distracts him, and then she leaves. And then he's being kind of crazy, and then they go to beat him up, and then the lights are flickering. He shoots all three of them. I really felt good for the Joker in that scene. I was like, he stood up for himself after all the times he's been bullied, and those guys were the worst.
Yeah, I do think, here's what I like, because I was kind of afraid at that point. I was like, are they going to try to make the Joker this, like, oh, well, he murders people because he's sad, mm-hmm, and you should feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But I like, at the end of the movie, I felt like he's a product of, like, they're like, he's a product of his circumstances, mm-hmm, who chose to go down this route. So don't feel bad for him, but there are reasons. Everything he did to get to where he is was not necessarily a bad thing. His reaction to what he did is bad.
Yeah.
So that was what they did. Because I was like, oh, they're going to make me try to be sympathetic towards the Joker. The most, like, unequivocally evil character in comic books.
Yeah. That's interesting, too. Like, you see what everything Bruce Wayne does, and he, out of a place of torment, becomes, like, this master ninja and super detective and vigilante. And they could have taken that turn with Joker, right? Like, these were bad people, and he shot him. He stand up for himself. But to your point, he goes, like, I kill those people. I didn't feel like anything. I felt fine about it, you know? And it's just like, oh, okay, he just... Well, I don't know, it's just chaos.
The Joker, I feel like, has always been meant to be a mirror image of Batman, to the point where there's the one comic book series where it's Bruce that gets shot, and his dad becomes Batman and his mom becomes the Joker because they both were just in grief and they went different directions with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They definitely, I mean, they could have mirrored it more, but...
Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
Someone's...
Kaylin's computer has woken up. Kaylin has appeared on the podcast yet again without appearing on it.
His footprint is here. I feel his presence. There you go. That brings me to about another thing I wanted to say about this movie.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the okay, how did you feel about the Wayne stuff?
I thought it was interesting, because that's why I was like, are they painting him as the good guy and the Waynes as the bad guy? But then they show that, oh, a lot of this stuff that he thinks is real is not necessarily real.
Yeah, so it's like a whole thing, because the Joker's mom used to, like, work for...
I think she was a maid in his
house. She was like a maid for the Waynes when she was young. And then she's like, oh, I had an affair with... What's the dad's name? Thomas Wayne. And then Thomas Wayne's like, no, she's crazy. She didn't. And I never quite know who was right, who was wrong, or if it was somewhere in between. But anyway, point is, she plants the idea in Joker's head that Thomas Wayne is his real father, and that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So he, like, has a confrontation with Thomas Wayne and with Bruce Wayne when Bruce Wayne's a kid. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of point out, like, the riots that he inadvertently starts by his actions.
Yeah, the reason they...
Is the reason that his... Bruce Wayne's parents get shot. So that was... I mean, it was interesting, but for me, it kind of... I don't want to say it took away from the Joker story, but I was just like, oh, yeah, they worked in the Waynes. Whereas I would have been fine if they didn't even mention the Waynes and just focused on Arthur Fleck, the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix.
So what's interesting is they're like... I was like, oh, they're going to make the Joker and Batman brothers, I guess?
Yeah.
What? But then I liked it for... minute a reason, because I liked that they did this and then went back on it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's better if they had just gone with that as like, oh yeah, they're brothers. The Joker's just his much older brother from when Thomas was young.
Yeah.
And like just inherited the family fortune.
Right.
But then they find out, then they go back to, well, no, the Joker is still this unknown, because she adopted an abandoned baby.
Yeah.
And so still nobody knows where he comes from. Nobody knows who he is or what, you know, anything about him other than he was just showed up one day at the orphanage. And then she adopted him. Then she's crazy and thinks that they had the affair. So they're not related at all. She's just, you know, connected to the Waynes, which I think I think it would feel unrealistic to me to put a story in based in Gotham and not have the Wayne family involved in it, because Gotham has been built over decades as this, like, the Waynes own and operate everything that isn't a criminal thing.
It's like the Rockefellers in New York City.
Yeah. So I can see why they involved him. It is also interesting, because I'm sure there'll be... Because they're doing the Batman movie with... What's his face?
Roberto Pattinson.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's going to show... It would be cool as if they show the same events, but they're like... Like, had them, like, refilmed all those interviews, like, where he talked about how awful the poor people were.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, well, this is just kind of how... people of that, like him, perceived it. This is how the interview actually was meant to be, or how, like, Bruce saw it, you know, where his father is this, like, super good person who cared about everybody and just wanted to help, and they all saw him as this money-grubbing dude who thinks that they're trash, and unless they bow down to him, they're all gonna die.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool, personally.
I'm very curious to see what angle they take with that Batman movie.
I also like... one more thing about this, the age that they put, because I think it hammers home a lot more that the, what's his face, Jared Leto Joker, they're not the same. They're in the same universe, but the Joaquin Phoenix is the original Joker, and Jared Leto is Jason Todd after Batman kills Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad they took that route.
because it makes more sense, because the Joker from like Suicide Squad and stuff acts like Jason Todd Joker. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I thought it was a bold move to go much closer to what Joker? The Jack Nicholson Joker.
Uh-huh.
Rather than try to kind of do their own thing again, just like they did with the Nolan Joker.
Yeah.
They just weren't like, yeah, clown makeup.
Mm-hmm. Back yeah, I mean, the aesthetic's good. OG. I guess another thing I could say about this movie is the costumes were very good, I thought.
I like the tear effect.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
That was cool.
Like, it was interesting because you always think about the Joker and like, oh, he must do his own makeup. But it was cool to be like, oh, he does his own makeup because he's a professional clown. And he's always done clown makeup. And
yeah. Did you notice he always had a little bit of that white face paint around the
edge
of his face?
Yeah, I did notice that.
What did you think of the, since it was your opening line, the interracial relationship?
Okay, so this is actually my favorite part of this movie. By far.
Yeah.
Is that they had a really cool twist.
It was a M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist.
I mean, even better than the Shyamalan twist, because it doesn't even end up being the A story. It's not even like, oh, end of the movie, crazy twist, now there's 5 minutes of movie left. Yeah. This one, it's like, it confuses you so much. So the Joker, there's a girl played by our favorite, Zazie Beetz. Yeah. Everyone knows Zazie Beetz.
Everybody.
We all love her. We love mm-hmm. her for her work in television. We love her for her work in movies. She also is probably cool to hang out with. I don't know. Who's to say? Mm. But she's in this movie. She's got a little girl. Live on the same floor in the same building. They have some interactions. And then, boom. Joker, Zazie Beetz, they're a thing. They're going out places.
Mm-hmm.
He comes home in full clown makeup and makes out with her. And she's cool with it. She likes it.
Yeah.
They're dating. They're running. She goes to this comedy show. She smiles. She laughs. She loves it. And then, what'd you say, about 2/3 of the way into the movie?
Was it that soon? I feel like it was way into the movie. It was like right when
I mean like when the turn happens, when you realize the twist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was, I would say the twist happens when I would say he goes from being Arthur Fleck to the Joker.
Yeah, I would agree. It's like the start of his downhill turn. He like goes into her apartment and then you see her and she's like, oh, what, please don't hurt me. You live on, you know, your name's Arthur, right? You live on this floor. And you're like, you realize, oh, the Joker's been fantasizing about having a relationship with it. Like he's been imagining the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, is it right after he finds out the stuff about his mom? It is. Cause he's all wet from walking home in the rain from the, from Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
So it's after he goes there and finds out that he was adopted and his mom's crazy and let boyfriend do stuff to him. Do stuff, beat him? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, right, because he got abused. They like, oh, yeah, he had been abused and she was like, didn't stop it or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. He was chained to a radiator.
Oh. Bad news. It's a bad place to be chained. So like,
she got to keep him. Who's running Gotham? We're a child services.
Well, that's the thing too. It's very much, that's the other thing why people say it's influenced by Scorsese, because it's like late 70s, early 80s New York, and it's just trashy. It's like the same kind of thing where it's like, oh, it's Gotham, and look how terrible everything is. Like, it's real seedy, it's real gross.
I mean, Gotham always kind of is depicted as sucks, right? Metropolis is always like, ah, shiny.
Right.
You know, like New York and Chicago.
But it's the exact same vibe. They show, you know, it's the same vibe as Taxi Driver. I'll say it a million times. People will hate me for it. It's the same vibe where you're like, oh, this is the dirty part of New York, the real dirty part and the dirty time in dirty New York.
Well, Gotham is Metropolis is New York. Gotham's supposed to be Chicago. Yeah, it's supposed to be Chicago.
We have this. Remember, we had this thing on our Dark Knight podcast because it's like in Dark Knight, it's like, oh, it's Chicago, and then in Dark Knight Rises, it's like. Oh, it's super New York.
Yeah. Well, because in the Nolan verse, there's nothing else, so Gotham is New York. But that's what I'm interested to know. One, is this Gotham across the bay from Metropolis, like it is in...
Is it like a New Jersey to Metropolis? Well,
you remember Batman versus Superman, Gotham and Metropolis are right next to each other.
Yeah.
And right. It was a big deal because everyone's like, oh, you know.
The movie I've definitely seen.
Yeah. But it's like everybody was like, oh, you know, Chicago, New York, just right across the bay from each other.
Oh, yeah, just, Throw a rock, you will hit Chicago from New York.
Aren't there like the two cities in California that are right across from each other?
San Francisco, Oakland, just across the bay.
Are those the Bay Cities or something?
Yeah.
What they're called? Well, see, that's why I wonder if that's area? Like the aesthetic they're going to choose for them. Is there like instead of going New York and Chicago, they're going like Oakland is Gotham is Oakland and San Francisco is Metropolis.
Yeah. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. He hallucinates the whole thing. Oh, he finds out his mom's crazy. I don't know. I did like... I was so... Yeah, when they showed the twist of like, oh, he's been imagining being with Zazie Beetz the whole time, made me so happy. I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. And now I don't have to... Because who just comes home? First off, Joaquin Phoenix is at least like, what, 18 to 25 years older than Zazie Beetz?
I don't know how old he's supposed to be in this.
Face of clown makeup and just makes out with her. And you're like, well, how is she cool with this? This is a creepy old man in clown makeup. Anyway.
There had been flirtations.
Imagine. Previously. They're so imagined. Anyway, I really liked that beat. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, because he stalks her. And then she's like, were you following me? He's like, mm.
He's like, a little bit. And she's like,
it's hot.
Anyway, you should have robbed the bank at work. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was good. Zazie Beetz, what a revelation.
Yeah.
So,
By the way, have you seen the Metascore versus audience score on this?
Oh, you want to talk about the ratings of this movie? Let's do it.
Well, I was just interested to know if you looked at
them. I've looked at the Rotten Tomatoes, I've looked at the Metascore, and I have looked at the IMDb score. Here's what will blow your mind. Do you want to dive into it?
Let's dive in. It looks like they've returned the certified fresh to the tomato meter.
All right, so here's what's mind-boggling about this movie. So, Rotten Tomatoes, 69. Nice.
Nice.
But the audience score?
90.
90%. That blows my mind.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Metacritic? 58. Not nice. Great.
Oh.
But here's what really blows your mind. IMDb? 9 out of 10. The user rating on IMDb, it's 9 out of 10, and you know where that puts it?
The user score on Metacritic is 9.3.
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing about a 9 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Right.
It puts it in the top 15 movies of all time.
Nice.
That is what is just crazy to me, and I'm pulling up. I took a screenshot just for this occasion.
Give it to me.
And you know what I'm going to do now? I lost it.
Let me pull it up.
Okay. It's so hard. Oh, okay. Sorry about this. I can do it. Okay. It is now. Okay. It's actually gone up since I looked at it last.
Oh, goodness.
So it is now number 9. IMDb, top rated movies, the 9th best movie of all time.
What's number 10? What it knocked down. Well, actually, what's number 11? What did it knock off the top 10?
Fight Club. Okay, next. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Wait, what numbers are you reading?
10.
Oh, that's 10? Okay.
Number 9? Joker. Number 8? Pulp Fiction. Number 7? Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
It's a good movie.
Number 6, my favorite. To compare it to. Schindler's List. So you're telling me Schindler's List is 3 slots better than Joker? That's crazy. This is, okay, I like this movie. I told you, I erected my thumb upwards, okay? You saw me do it, I'm doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 movies of all time. Here's the movies it beat out. Lord of the Rings, Forrest Gump, Inception, Star Wars, Episode 5, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Goodfellas, Scorsese, Seven Samurai, Seven... I love that there's no... It's crazy to me. This is the other thing. There are only 2 movies in the top, like, 50 IMDb that have less than a 60 Metascore. Life is Beautiful, which is an inspiring film. Everyone should see it.
Yes.
And Joker.
Yep.
Everything else is sitting at, like, a 80 or 90 on Metascore. It blows my mind. It has to fall. It can't stay this... It doesn't... Dark Knight's number 4, okay? This is not 5 movies better than, or 5 movies worse than Dark Knight. What? Tyler.
Here's a question for you.
Explain it to me.
Where's Avengers on the list? Where's Avengers on, the first Avengers on IMDb's list?
Let me see. The thing is, Endgame was rated super high too when it came out, but it looks like it's not even on the list anymore. Avengers 1?
Yeah.
It's, somewhere. Oh my gosh.
Better be on this list.
Its rating is an 8 out of 10.
All right. Which doesn't put it in the best.
Wouldn't put it in the top. It might put it in the top 250. No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
What happened to Endgame? Because Endgame was the same thing, though. It was super high. I think it was, like, the highest rated for, like, a week.
Mm.
Endgame is 8.6.
Mm.
So, which puts it at number 48. So, maybe it'll be the same thing where this will drop, like, 30 or 40 slots after a while.
Here's what I think. I think, first off, I think the first Avengers, because here's what I think. In my mind, that list should be, these are the best movie of all time. Should be like, what's number one on the list?
Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. Where is Citizen Kane on the list?
Oh, it's on the list, but it's further down.
Like, it's way down, right?
Top five: Shawshank Redemption, The Godfather, Godfather Part Two, Dark Knight, 12 Angry Men.
So the thing I always think when I look at that list, it's not what it is, but what I've always assumed it is for some reason, is, it's like the best movies, like movies that changed the game. So, historically speaking, film nerd speaking, I guess, I'm not sure, they would put Citizen Kane as number one.
Well, that's the thing. See, what you're talking about is Metascore. Because Citizen Kane is 100, has 100% on Metacritic.
Yeah. So does Legend of Zelda.
The Godfather? 100% on Metacritic. Godfather Part 2 is a 90, you know, so like, that, I don't know, that's what I like about the IMDb top rated movies, because it's based on user rating, but it's pretty consistent where it's like, these are the movies like people like, but also critics like them too. It's a pretty good balance of like, I mean, Shawshank Redemption, Godfather, Dark Knight, 12, like, these are movies that have won Oscars, that have done well, but people also enjoy them. It's not just for like, the people that really like indie movies and are super into indie movies. It's like a good balance of blockbusters and critic approval.
Yeah.
So to have this have a 69, nice, Rotten Tomatoes, a 90% audience score, but then a 9 out of 10 is unheard of. I mean, there's only 8 other movies that can boast that high of a score.
Well, yeah. Actually, I think I know why I think of the list as being that. It's because I think if you look at the video game Metacritic top 100, it is where Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, I think, is number one and has been forever, because everyone gives it a 10 out of 10 for some reason. But you go back, you play that today. Controversial opinion, is a garbage game. Mm-hmm. Does not play well today.
You get to ride a horse, sir.
But I mean, it's like,
you can drink milk, sir.
It's like people who say Citizen Kane's the best movie of all time. It's a terrible movie, I've heard. People who go back and watch it now.
But as far as like movie history.
Yeah.
Totally advanced the genre, changed the game.
Which is why I think movies like the first Avengers movie and this movie, The Joker, deserve to be high on these lists, because that first Avengers movie changed the game.
Mm, that's true. No other movie had where a universe led up to that.
Yeah.
Like different movies tied together that weren't sequels to each other necessarily, built to this movie happening, the events of this movie.
They took what had been successful in a couple of TV shows and very successful in like comic books and books. There's series of books that will be written by one or two different authors, you know,
mm-hmm.
who, if you read both of them, they've not tied together at all. And then like in the third book, you realize, oh, you're reading two people that are in the same world. But no one had done it in movies super successfully, and they did that. We're just like, I think what they've done is they took a universe that everyone has probably shouted very aggressively to them to just scrap, and they've refused. And they made one a good movie in the universe that's far better than any of the other DC movies. Mm-hmm. I think we can agree on that. Because it's better than any of the other DC movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. and they gave a backstory to a villain that still makes the villain like a cool villain. Yeah. And still leaves a lot of mystery to him. And like, how does he get from this to that?
Yeah.
You know, what of all of the things, there's so many things said in the movie. What is the truth and what is not truth? And what are the half truths and things like that? So it's like, what is the real story behind the Joker? Because they showed the movie is the Joker's view of reality. So they might show from the Batman movie, like none of that stuff happened.
Right.
You know, Bruce or Thomas Wayne never said those things on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might show him coming to the house, and it wasn't just him doing that. He was being super creepy and like hurting Bruce, and he just thought Bruce was into it, you know, or something like that.
Oh man, okay, I just had a thought.
Yeah,
I have to share it before I forget it. Here's the thing: Joker tries to make people smile, spread joy. That's what he says his purpose is. My mom always said my purpose in life was to spread joy.
Yeah.
Right. And he decides he wants to be a comedian. His idol is Murray, what's his name? Robert De Niro's character, like the late night comedian host. Like the David Letterman, Johnny Carson, like that guy. And then he tries to be a stand-up comedian, does a terrible job. His clip gets picked up on the show. It's like during the whole movie, Arthur Fleck is like, this is who I am. Like, I'm this person. I'm funny. I spread joy. I'm a good person. And then everything's just is not turning his way, and he realizes the lies about his life, and he gets beat up and chewed up and spit out by society. And then he kills Murray, who is like, you know, Johnny Carson, David Letterman, those are like comedy icons. Those are the people that spread joy and laughter, and everyone knows them and loves them. That's what he wanted for himself. He kills that guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the Joker. Yeah, I'll make you laugh. And I'll terrify you and spread chaos at the same time, you know? So he's not like the anti Letterman, the anti comedian.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a pretty good movie, I guess. I just convinced myself it's a good movie.
Well, I mean, it's like even down to his stand up stand up routine that he did.
Yeah.
The way they shot it would make it seem like he had a rough start because he was nervous, so his laugh Tourette's, which I'm assuming is what it is, just a weird form of Tourette's.
Yeah.
Is making it difficult for him to say his jokes, but once he gets calmed down and sees what's her face in the crowd, and then he starts rolling and people are laughing, and it makes it implies it went really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing of like, did it go well or did he just bomb for the whole? Because I mean, a normal open mic is you do 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, most places 5 minutes.
So, you know, did he bomb the entire 5 minutes, or did he get out those first two jokes, bomb those two, but then once he's into it? But then you see his jokes, which, I mean, I chuckled when he saw the I hope my death makes more sense.
Uh-huh.
But I chuckled in that I can imagine me saying that joke to somebody else, like saying, oh yeah, this was in the movie, sense, like money, not sense, like sense, but like money, and like way over explaining it to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's funny, I like that. So I don't know if I thought the image of me over explaining it to somebody or the joke was funny, but it was funny.
Yeah. So you don't know how well the set went or didn't go.
Yeah.
It could have been okay. It could have been awful. They showed the bombing two jokes that weren't the worst jokes in the world. Like, if an experienced comedian at his stand-up special told those jokes, they would have gotten laughs.
I think they would get laughs because they're bad.
You already
jokes.
Had the goodwill, right? Yeah. You had the goodwill of the audience, but as a brand new stand-up, no one cares. Like,
but I think those would get laughs the way, like, if Jerry Seinfeld did a stand-up special and he's like, what's the deal with airplane food? Everybody would start losing it immediately.
Right.
You know, just because that's a famously bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it's also, like, that's his joke.
He invented that kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it would be funny if he came out and started making one of those bad jokes and then pulled away from it.
Right. Best joke in the movie by far.
Give it to me.
Arthur Fleck is at his party. He's getting ready for his big debut. Showtime debut, right? Going to go on the show.
This is what I was going to say, too.
Okay. Yeah. So two of his clown friends, the big guy who kind of framed him and set him up, gave him the gun.
Yeah.
And the little person. They come over and they're like, hey, so a lot of people asking questions around the station, whatever. Joker lets him in. He does the privacy lock. Okay. Yeah. Lets him in the house, talks to him. After a little bit, stabs big guy who set him up with the gun in the neck, slams his head against the walls. Very brutal, very terrifying.
Yeah.
Little person guy is just like...
Gary. Gary's his name.
What's his name?
Gary.
Gary's there, and he is just freaking out. He's not happy about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, Arthur, can I go? He's like, yeah. And then, first off, I mean, it's a two-parter joke. The first part of the joke is when he goes to leave, Arthur jumps at him like he's gonna attack him. And yeah. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. Really, you can go. Then he goes to the door. He's a little person. He cannot reach the privacy lock. He's stuck in. And I don't know, that did not get the laugh it deserved, because that is hilarious.
I know. I stifled
so sad and so funny. I was like, oh my gosh. No, they didn't. That poor guy.
I think you and I were both like doing the, like, oh, don't laugh at it, but oh, it's funny.
And then too, like, when he lets him out, he's like, you were always nice to me. Thanks. Doesn't he like kiss him on the forehead or something?
Yeah, he does. I was like, oh my God. Because he opens the door and then he's like, shuts it again. You're like, oh, Gary's dead. And then he's like, you're always nice to me, Gary. It like pats him with the blood hand.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, as horrifying as that murder was, it's so funny that he just trolled little Gary, who he wasn't going to hurt, but he sure was going to make jokes at his expense before you let him go. I don't know. Yeah.
I would say, so the final scene, or not the final scene, but like the last scene where he's dancing on the car and everybody's cheering for him.
Yeah.
I would say when he's fully... you know, make up everything, what you're looking at is the Joker. But I would say when his mind fully switches to Joker mode is when he lets him in. Because, like you said, the Joker's super smart. Because you can tell once he stops taking those medicines, like, oh, he seemed like he wasn't that bright.
And there's definitely some social inhibitions as well. Like, there was...
But then once he stops taking the medicine, you're like, oh, he's super smart. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like... When he opened it and then he put the lock on him, I thought, he's going to kill these guys. Mm-hmm. And he knows he's going to kill them, so he did the lock so that they're going to open it thinking they're going to get out, and he's going to have that extra second to stab one of them.
Right.
So that's where I thought you see him planning ahead and scheming and
mm-hmm.
knowing what he's going to do and being able to act normal around people, knowing that he's about to kill them.
Yeah.
But putting things in place so that he'll be able to get away with this little scrawny dude will be able to get away with killing these two dudes.
Yeah. And I guess that's another thing to say about this movie that I did really appreciate. I've seen a couple DC movies and they've had a similar vibe.
But this one...
This one is it's like it's a whole other universe. Shot completely differently, different timeline. I don't know. I did appreciate that. Like it didn't feel like a superhero movie. It felt like an indie character study movie. Yeah. It felt very gritty and dark. It didn't have like the CG, which is my big issue with DC, is I always squirm at some of their CG where I'm like, that was not done as well as it could have been. Whereas this, it was like, they didn't, I mean, that, cause that's not what it's about. It's like a character study of this guy going crazy and becoming a psychopath. But for all of those reasons, I liked it a lot. And to your point, like, it could be a game changer for the DC universe, where it's like, look, we can do this other stuff too. We don't have to.
Well, what I hope they... One thing I hope this showcases is that, one, you can get a very well shot... Because I felt like the dark and grittiness kind of matched what they've done with the DC movies. The problem is the DC movies, like a Superman movie, probably shouldn't be dark and gritty.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You need to know you need to match it to the hero that you're doing.
Yeah.
But what I hope it shows is the budget of this film. What did you look it up?
I did not look it up.
What do you think this film cost? All those locations? You got Joaquin Phoenix?
I mean, you mentioned a budget earlier. I don't know if that was just a guess, supposition, or are you trying to throw me off? You could make this movie for $36
million. Is a $55 million budget.
Yeah, that's what you said. I should have said it.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if I said it tonight.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not. Yeah.
But so, because I mean, like, the other ones have been hundreds of millions of dollars, I think, for their budget. So what I hope it shows them is like, oh, we can make a really good movie with, like, good actors, good costumes, good locations.
And the action scenes, like.
And then pour. So they could do that for 50, and then we can pour the other 80 million into making like a good CG character, because mm-hmm. I think Thanos and Hulk showed, like, we have the ability to make a CG character that looks and feels and acts like there's a person that's that big and that color.
Yeah.
On the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they rush it out because they decide to change something at the last minute and you get Hulkbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's real weird and floaty in that Hulkbuster suit.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, even Marvel kind of fell short a couple times, but that was because, famously, there was something going wrong there, and they quickly pumped that out mm-hmm. right before the movie came out. Which is interesting, because I would say it's on par with the effects. Like, I would say it's on par with Steppenwolf, who was the bad guy of Justice League.
Yeah, another movie I've definitely seen.
I'd say the problem I have with Steppenwolf is his minions are better animated than he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just supposed to be a big dude in a suit with a helmet on.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's made out of Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a Play-Doh superhero.
Which, I villain? Guess...
Oh, I have not seen that movie.
It's difficult, I guess, to... I guess it's easy to underestimate the resources that Disney has that, you know, who's it, Warner Brothers that does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Warner Brothers.
That they don't have access to Pixar and Disney Animation Studios to do that stuff for them. Yeah. They don't have access to ILM for free, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, they have to entice those top-tier animators over to them. But, I mean, like, if you're an animator, I'd be willing to bet pretty much everyone who wants to be a professional animator, like, working at Disney Animation Studios or Pixar is, like, you're the best of the best.
I've talked to so many people that are like, oh, I'm going to be an animation student. You know, I would love... My dream job is to work with Pixar. It's always Pixar.
Yeah.
Every time. Even when they're going to, like, a school that isn't an art school. It's like, you're not going to go from a not arts school into Pixar anyway.
Yeah.
Just a shout out to those people.
Well, I mean, it's also... Happen. There's so many of those people who come from the same school that they reference
CalArts?
The classroom. Yeah. They reference, like, the classroom of a famous professor there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because Disney owns CalArts, and it is, I believe, in Burbank. It's in L.A. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Institute of Arts in California. Whatever.
I don't know.
There's that school in Los Angeles. It's the one.
They're also famously, like, they take a lot of people from that school, but, I mean, they take the best.
It's a top, well, it's a top-tier art school.
Yeah.
And they take the best people from it.
Yeah. So it's...
If you, it's like when you're like, all these really good lawyers are coming out of Harvard. You're like, well, yeah, it's one of the best law schools.
Yeah.
So they're already like some of the best students.
Yeah.
So you're going to take the best people from there.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure I'd be willing to bet there are students going into Harvard Law who are better lawyers than people who graduated from other law schools. You know, because they care more about it. They did more. They've studied more. So yeah. They know a lot about law versus mm-hmm. somebody who went to not a good law school. I don't know the law schools, Cody. What's
Chicago?
Oh. Well, there goes all the
Harvard.
Harvard's a bad one. That's
I just listened to a podcast about law school too, and I can't even remember some of the ones they named, like the top five.
I assume it's like medical school where you think there's like seven and there's about 7,000 per state, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, I think there's a lot of med schools, but that's just because Kansas City has so many.
Law schools are also... Well, that's the thing about med school and law school is that they're much smaller programs. Like, you think about a state school, oh, they've got 30,000 students. There's no law school with 30,000 people in it. You're talking about like 600 people with like 5,000 people. That's like as big as your law school would be,
Let's take a moment to think about this, because I know med schools, the medical boards limit how many they can... take in every year
because
mm-hmm. they're grubby,
so grubby,
so they're like, no, can't do it, you guys can't accept more than this, these students. Are the bar associations doing the same thing for law school?
I highly doubt it, because there's a shortage of physicians in the country, and lawyers, they're always in an ebb and flow of like, oh, the market's super saturated, hard to find a job, or oh, there's really high demand for lawyers, and so we need a lot more lawyers. So I've heard that a lot when people talk about law school is, oh, there's sometimes where it's better to become a lawyer than others because sometimes the market's saturated.
So you think, I would wonder if they're also more easy to adjust those numbers, because it seems like
Well, it also takes longer to go through med school. A lot more people drop out of med school, and you do your resident, your internship, and your residency, and so it's a whole process. Whereas lawyer, 3 years of law school, and then you're done. Whereas you got a lot more. Oh, it's so hard to become a doctor. Real hard.
That's the thing. I know
the hoops, the steps.
Yeah,
there's more of the hoops and the steps.
That's why I know, like, some states like Missouri, where they're really short on physicians. Mm-hmm. The state has basically gone to the medical boards and been like, "Yeah, you're not in charge anymore." Mm-hmm. So here's a path for a credit for a medical license that does not involve you, because famously, every year it gets harder and harder and harder to be a doctor, because if you're a doctor and there's one doctor for every 10 jobs, you know when you would make even more money? If there was one doctor for every 20 jobs.
Yeah.
So they make it, it's famously like the old doctors make it harder and harder for new people to be doctors. That
blows my mind too, is because doctors work so much. I mean, unless you're doing like private practice, there are so many doctors where it's like, you're working so many hours, can you even enjoy being rich?
And I don't think it's those guys that make tons of money. It's the guys that, like, own a hospital.
Right.
And all these nurse practitioners. Because, I mean, one of the things I saw is, so there's something where you can complete med school and not get a medical license.
Really?
Yeah. Because some guys don't want to do residency, so they skip it. And they try to just go and get medical license. And yeah, it's crazy hard. It's like stupid hard to just do that, because they want, I mean, if someone can get a doctor for your paycheck, don't you think they want to do that? Because I know them residents don't make much.
Oh, they sure don't.
You know who else doesn't make much? Clowns.
Oh,
I brought it back.
You brought it all the way back.
Brought it all the way back around on our med school, law school podcast. Let's have Rodney.
Welcome to the GradCast. We study post baccalaureate degrees of all sort and all sorts of specialties.
I mean, it fits, Cody. You over yourself over there thinking about that postgraduate degree?
Some grad school.
You're thinking about it.
Graduate degree in movie reviewing. Send me some money so I can go to movie review grad school.
You get an MBA.
Masters of being awesome.
A critic. Sea is silent.
So this movie is good. I've convinced myself that it is pretty good. I wish there were more psychopaths in my audience, but not so many that they had to evacuate the theater because people were acting sketchy. That happened at like 2 or 3 theaters this weekend.
Yeah.
There was one that self-evacuated where, yeah, like there was some dude just like, he was like spitting on people and like cackling, laughing at stuff. And people like left. They were like, okay, we're leaving. We're not prepared to die for a DC movie.
Yeah. See, we were smart. We went to the IMAX. They got those thick row dividers, so you take cover.
Oh,
from the
easy.
Gun, you take cover from easy. The fire, from the gunfire.
Here's the thing: if you're going, this is terrible. If you're going to shoot a movie theater, though,
don't.
You're going to go to the big theater, okay, with the normal seats, because it's like 3 times as many seats.
It's true.
As the recliner seat theaters, obviously. So anyway, we played it safe.
You're also probably not going to go to the theater that like always has 2 or 3 cops hanging out in the lobby.
Yeah. Oh, like probably not.
30 steps from you.
That's true.
They'll shoot you real good in Kansas City.
They
those
know
KCPD
how.
Guys, they do not
they
mess around.
Do it.
They will get you.
So,
they're the perfect balance of crazy and balanced, Cody. They're not going to shoot you for eating an apple in the street, but they will shoot you for shooting people in the street.
That's what we need. If you know, you're out there shooting people in the streets, I think the police should shoot you.
Yeah, I agree. All the PDs be like KCPD. Unless KCPD did something bad the week you're listening to this, then don't be like that.
And don't do it. What are you thinking?
Be like Travis County PD.
What?
I don't know. It'd be like Austin.
Austin, the I bet, has an County, amazing right? police force.
They probably don't even carry guns. They probably just carry wiffle bats.
They probably carry artisanal salami sticks.
Let's be real. They carry guns. It's Texas. It's Austin. Here's true. The thing. Austin, they're trying to pretend like they're in California, but we all know they're in Texas.
Oh, no. They are in Texas, okay? I see them out there. They're smoking their brisket. They're sharpening their Bowie knives. And they're cleaning their handguns, okay?
Texas.
They're big. The they got a big iron. they're doing it.
Here's the thing with Austin.
What?
It's, I hate to say it, but it excels at something that Kansas City benefits a little bit from.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City, very high liberal population in the city itself.
Right.
In a very conservative state. So here's what you do. You get all the goods, you get all that good conservative food with the liberal fanciness, and it's so good. But Austin is even more liberal in the middle of Texas.
Oh, yeah. The South. It's the only thing the South knows what it
Here's the thing, Cody. The Texas is not the South. Texas is Texas.
How dare you, sir? I know for a fact, maybe, that Texas is Southern. And you want to know how I know?
How?
Cowboy hats. If you wear a cowboy hat, I don't know, man.
It's the rest of the South. That's what I'm saying.
It's so hard.
Texas is not in the South because Texas has its own North and South.
Where
Texas
is Arkansas?
It's in the South.
Arkansas is in the South?
I mean, if we're wait, you want to say who wanted the slaves in the war? Missouri is the South.
Well, that's why. Because here's the thing. No one wants to claim Kentucky.
No one
Arkansas,
wants Kentucky.
No one cares about Arkansas is the thing.
Oh, Arkansas is real racist. Even the South kind of tries to pretend they don't exist. Gosh. It's real pretty, though. Ooh, I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard they have real nice national parks in Arkansas.
I love it. That's where I'm
nice.
From.
So
I never saw a person who wasn't white until I moved out of Arkansas. That's a fun fact for you.
I met a guy from Arkansas, and he was searching. Arkansas was the greatest place on the planet, and everybody knew it. Meanwhile, we were all trying to convince him, you were the only person we've ever met from Arkansas.
Because no one leaves, Cody.
No one leaves.
But now you know how I feel when you and Kayla are like, California is the best. And it's like, it's fun to visit. Kind of like the zoo. But you don't want to live at the zoo. You want to go eat some overpriced food, look at all the animals in their cages, and then leave. And know that they can't leave.
There's nothing better than walking around the zoo all day and then paying $5 for an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
It's the best ice cream you'll ever have.
What horror story must the zoo in California be? Because a normal ice cream cone is $5.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... You been to Disneyland ever?
No.
The food? Oh, my word. You're going to spend $10 on a corn dog and you'll be grateful.
You're going to spend $10 and you'll be happy because you brought a coupon for $12 off.
Here's the thing. If you're interested in this movie, see it. If you're not, the hype will die down. Some people were so shocked by, like, the darkness and goriness of this movie that they couldn't handle it.
A lot
prepared.
Of people were not prepared, which I feel like, who went to go see this movie? It's like no one told them who the Joker was.
Yeah.
So like
they were like, look, remember how the Joker's been on this PG-13 tether? We're doing an origin story. It's late 70s New York. It's terrifying. It's rated R. And they're like, okay, so it'll be just like a PG-13 movie. And you're like, nah, it won't be.
People hated Heath Ledger's Joker because they were like, it's awful, it's horrible, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And it's like, they didn't let him shoot somebody in the head and then hold on the head. They cut away.
Yeah.
The Joker's awful. I don't know what material these people have seen to make them think the Joker was not going to be horrible. Mm-hmm. All the time. Because you could be like, oh, well, the cartoons, it's like, no, he's pretty bad in even the cartoons.
Yeah.
Here's the one that dumbed him down for. The one that's made for 8-year-olds. And then he only kills like 50 people an episode he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of 1,000. But he definitely kills people. You know, you get the other ones, you get like Riddler, you get Bane in there. And they're like, I'm going to knock over this water tower. The Riddler's like, I just blew up a school. What are we doing now? Now on to my master plan. That was a side note. I was bored last week, so that's what I did. Now we're doing this thing instead. It's like, okay. That's the Joker's thing. Why are you shocked that the Joker kills people?
I don't know.
And he's a psycho when he's always been a psycho. Why do you think they have Mark Hamill voice him?
He's the scariest man in Hollywood.
I love the fact that he's just... It's Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah.
Super nice dude. Super cool guy. He's the Joker. He's the voice of the Joker. In The Flash, he plays a guy called the Trickster.
What?
Which is basically the Joker. And I love him. He's amazing. I want him to be the Joker so bad. Like, if they have a thing where it's like, oh, we need an old Joker for, like, a scene.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, be, like, a flashback to Batman killing him or something. Here's what I hope against all hope. Mm-hmm. That old Joker is Mark Hamill. Because he's old.
He's an old one.
He's an old boy.
I mean, check it out if you're interested.
Yeah.
Otherwise, don't touch it. What are you doing?
Don't take your 10-year-old kid to, like, see the Joker.
If this was an indie movie, nobody would see it. Like, only the people that knew about it and really interested would see it, and I think you need to treat this movie the same way. It's not just like a blockbuster movie, like, oh, you gotta get out here, you gotta see it.
I think if you were a consenting adult who goes in expecting a John Wick-style level of death, there's not that much death, but there's a lot of violence. And you want to see it because it's a Joker. Like, if you know who the Joker is and understand this is a rated R Joker movie,
mm-hmm.
that is not about Batman. It is about the Joker.
Yeah. Here's the last thing I'll say about this movie.
Keep in mind, Heath Ledger killed himself after playing the Joker.
He didn't kill himself because he played the Joker.
I mean, he took a lot of medication.
That's not...
He did. He said so himself that he went on a lot more medication than he was before.
Yeah, he went on a lot of medication. It wasn't...
That's literally like me being like, I didn't die of a heart attack because I had McDonald's
every
day. Oh my gosh,
do your research. That's not why he killed himself.
He didn't kill himself. He overdosed.
Speculative. Completely speculative that it had anything to do with this performance. Joker. An issue with his medication.
He did not kill himself. He overdosed.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, here's the
thing. It's also like saying I died of a heart attack, not of eating McDonald's.
The man who directed this movie? Todd Phillips. Oh. You don't know who that is? He's the man who brought us Due Date. Hangover. Hangover Part 2. Hangover Part 3. He's only directed comedies for his entire life.
Yeah.
And he just whips out the Joker.
Yeah.
What kind of sick maniac is this man? I think I saw an article somewhere where he was like, yeah, just in today's climate, I was like, I can't do a comedy. This is... No one wants to see my dumb comedies anymore. Let's do something totally haunting with Joaquin Phoenix in the DC universe. And then he did it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not interested in any of his movies except for this one. This one got me to go see a Todd Phillips movie, so there you go.
Yeah. Would you classify him as a struggling comedian?
Did he struggle? Yes. Is he a comedian? Yes. Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I don't.
Todd Phillips, the real Joker.
That's him.
He's the...
In the flesh. He's actually done all of... It's a confession video. He did all of these things.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
Serious allegations.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to listen to this.
You're out here going to make a documentary about him, showcasing all the stuff. HBO will buy it. They'll do it.
They will. They'll buy it, and they'll make you watch a 2.5-minute commercial for Barry before you watch it. So yeah. There you go.
And then you'll be like, I'll never watch another Todd Phillips movie again.
Never again.
It's like, when was the last time you heard a Michael Jackson song? Tell you when, before the documentary came out. That's when.
Oh, Tyler. What else even is there to say?
Reiterate, don't take children to the film.
Don't take a child to this movie. At all.
But go see it.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. Share us with your friends,
Yeah.
Podbean. It's called Opinion Havers. You're listening. It's just, here's the thing. I have some caffeine. It's wearing off real fast.
Okay, here we go. We are on Google Play. We're on iTunes. Cody, I'm saving you from this hole you've dug yourself into. Google Play, iTunes, YouTube. Loads up to YouTube now because we're on the Podbean. It's all so tasty. We got all the things that are good. We got Stitcher, Spotify. We're on that Spotify. We're on everything else that pulls onto all the sites, all the apps. You can find us on the Twitterverse. You can tweet at Cody. He won't respond. He doesn't even tweet about movies. It's his personal Twitter account that he put our name on.
I've been told I don't tweet enough. And I'm like,
because when you do, it's like, I ate a burrito today. And I'm like, dude, it's supposed to be a movie Twitter account. And it's just your Twitter account. People want to know about the movies. Guess what? I bought the Doctor Who movie. And then they never shipped it. So I messaged them. I was like, hey, you want to ship that? And then they gave me a refund for like a quarter of what I paid for it.
Gosh, it's not online?
It's not online.
Oh, my word. To that stranger who emailed Tyler.
I tried.
Why'd you do this to us?
I'm trying. Why? It's a lot of effort being put into this movie.
It's just at Opinion Havers. That's my Twitter handle. I'm bringing hot takes once a month on a topic that is sometimes a movie.
Sometimes.
I'm on a podcast called Three Guys, Three Questions. You can see that. Tyler's not on it. Yeah. No, right. I'm on it, though. Season 11. I'm only on the new season, okay? Till next time. Watch movies.
Have opinions.
Did you like how good and effortful my plug was? It was seamless, right? Like, you heard me make my plug for the other podcast, and it was like, whoa. He must have spent hours crafting that.